Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't with it. A trust is lost for the news. Every night for Hallis in your ears.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 70. Oh my God.
I'm
keeping it in there. Episode 189 of 79th and Hollis. We're back. This is your boy Flo Zandolini. I'm here with my brother Fat Man Scott. For those who are Patreon,
put some more excitement in your voice.
There's nothing exciting about this team.
It is exciting. You know what's exciting? The season's almost fucking over, and we ain't got to record this fucking podcast for 3 months.
Okay. That's fair. if you all on Patreon, you can see my eyes are insanely low. They're probably always low, but I am.
And I have a hoodie on because my haircut is looking Bodine right now.
You might as well see us on Patreon.
No, I ain't no way hell. Y'all, now
is it Jay-Z album, bro?
It's worse than that.
It can't be.
No, because it's like it's just not good. Like if it was Jay-Z album, bro, it's not even fro wise yet. It's just I need a haircut. My line is looking crazy.
It's just your hair growing out, right?
Yeah, but it's not on purpose. I'm not trying to grow my hair. I just ain't had time.
Meanwhile, you see your boy. I got some dreads sticking up, but you see your boy's dreads freshly retwisted.
By the way, this week's preview pod will be free. We have a special guest this week, and we'll wait to tell y'all when the guest shows up. Because I don't like saying guests and then something happens last minute and motherfuckers can't show up.
True.
Then I got egg in my face. Just know it's a big guy.
And well, you Chicago. Gave it away with the voice.
No, I really didn't. It's a big guy in the Chicago sports landscape. So look out for that on our preview pod of the Vikings, man. So it should be fun. But we are here. It's episode 189. Like you said, if you're on the Patreon, you can see us. We were both solo last week. I did send him with the guy solo. He did the preview pod solo.
It took a minute for me to actually finally watch Hawkeye. I had so much stuff to do. I literally just saw it about a couple hours ago. Well, so
we'll do the next one after next week, after Christmas, so then we can recap the last two episodes and Spider-Man No Way Home, which I am risking the wrong bone to go see. You know what I did today? I went to the theater that I'm going to, like on the website, act like I was buying another ticket for the showing just so I could see how many seats was available. And there's still a lot of green in the showing I'm going to.
Not mine, nigga.
That's because you're going at night. Niggas are still at work in my screen.
That's true. Not to butt is what it's what's going on in my theater. Yeah, we're sitting directly next to people, which
you're gonna have that titanium mask on, nigga.
I'm definitely having two masks on. It's not my preferred choice to be sitting next to people. And I know people's gonna have their mask off laughing. I'm screaming.
Oh, because y'all in Chicago, you can't do that in California. Matter of fact, you need a vaccine to even get into the theater.
A vaccine.
Yeah. We both having fucked up sounds.
Speech impediment issues.
But yeah, but when you buy the ticket, it says vaccine mandate. You must have a vaccine to get into the movie theater.
Nah, I would feel much. But you know what, nigga? The Omicron variant is doing numbers. It's putting up wilt numbers on the vaccine right now. So I'm not sure if it matter.
But it's the thing, though. Like, even with the Bulls are 100% vaccinated, and I think, like, 30% of the team has boosters. But they said, damn the A-ball on the team don't have any symptoms. Like, DeMar said he been at the crib playing video games. Like,
so is A-O. You see it on his Instagram. Yeah. He's inviting people to Madden. I hit him up like, bro, play me in Madden.
Yeah. So, only ones who said they had it bad. Vooch had it bad, and Stacey King has had it bad. Now, Stacey is an older guy. He's a bigger guy. They might have something to do with it. But they said Vooch was getting worse for a minute. But yeah, so after I go see this movie, I'm not going to Staples Center, well, the Crypto.com Center for 2 weeks, because next week I'm going on vacation. And what I mean by not vacation, but staycation. And what I mean by that is outside of 79th and Hallis, you niggas will be getting no content. So don't expect no content next week whatsoever from me. I will be doing nothing but sitting here and watching fucking TV. And then next Monday, the Clippers play the Spurs. I'm not leaving my house to risk the Omarion variant to watch these niggas play the Spurs. And Paul George might even play. Paul George has played like two games since I've been covering the team because he got an elbow injury. So some dude tried to check me yesterday. Went on a court. Some security nigga. He's like, are you able to be up here? I was like, nigga, do you see my pass? Look at my shit. I can be up here to the final buzzer of pregame. He said, oh, okay. I was like, you didn't do that with the white man who was on here. But since there's a nigga over here on the court, you want to talk to me about my pregame procedure.
You know, it's funny because the same thing happens to me every time at Soldier Field until finally I had to tell a nigga, leave me alone.
And you there all the time.
You know what I'm saying? That's the even worse thing. I'm literally there all the time, and there's this one old white dude who constantly says, CRD. I'm like, you know who I am. This is a season badge. Nothing has changed. My face.
Yeah, you got that one badge, right.
My face and affiliation is on here. My badge is here. I'm here every home game. Nothing has changed. You know who I am. Until finally, I just stop paying attention to him. He said, can I just walk? I keep walking. Like, nigga, don't talk to me. You know what I'm saying?
And it's not like it's secure. It's crypto.com arena security. And so I'm like, nigga, I just sat down and had ice cream with Jerry West. Get the fuck out of my way. What are you doing?
No, it's I understand for certain people, there are people who, you know, they're hired to have to work security to make sure people don't come on the court and come on the field. Because there are times I was so defeated, I was like, nigga, these look like fans. How'd they get up here? But toward the end of the game, no one is there. There's no security in Soldier Field after a while.
Well, I can, if it's not a Laker game after the Clippers, I can go on a court after the game. There's no point in me. I don't have a cameraman. So there's no point in me being on the court. I go at the end of the game, I go on the court, I sit through warm up so I can, you know, see any players, you know, be up close, watch it, and then get content for my Instagram and for the Twitter, pretty much. And so yesterday, I got to meet the boss, Don, Stephen A. Smith. Because when you go to Bears games, you check where you're sitting at, right? Mm-hmm. So when I get my credential at the Crip, I'm gonna start calling it that, the Crip, because it's only got like literally 11 days at the Staples Center. They already took the Staples Center signs down. Anything that says Staples Center inside of the arena is coming down by Christmas. Now the crypto sign isn't gonna go up till June, but it looked like Staples Center is getting foreclosed when you walk into the arena. Like it's actually pretty fucking funny. But so I go to get my credential, and so I'm looking at the seating chart, because if it's a trash team, they sit me courtside. If it's a good team, they got me in the press box. So I knew since it was Phoenix, I'm definitely finna be in the press box.
Yeah.
If it's Sacramento, New Orleans, they have me courtside. So I was like, all right, let me see. So I seen they had me in the press box, and I saw Stephen A. Smith. I was like, oh shit, Stephen A. gonna be here. So as I'm getting ready to leave warm-ups, go up to the press box, there's like 2 minutes left on the clock before they start clearing out to do national anthem and shit like that. Thomas was like, oh, Stephen A. here. Like as he was entering, Stephen A. came in with a whole bunch of security. So I was like, oh, I don't see him, whatever. I can't wait out here too long. So I'm leaving the court. And I see Stephen A. come through the tunnel, and he walking like super cool, like he do on TV. And in my head, I'm like, oh shit, nigga, Stephen A. So I go to, he said, what's up, my man? What's up, my man? Dap me up. And I was like, oh nigga, this shit cool as hell. I just met Stephen A. So he was cool. He sat up there, he talked to Chris Paul. And then like they had him sitting in like a different area, but it was cool as hell. He's actually tall. He's taller than Chris Paul. He's like 6'3", 6'4".
Oh, I'm thinking in my head, Chris Bosh. I said, excuse me?
Nah, hell no.
He said Chris.
No.
Nah. Chris and Paul is like, 6'1"?
Chris Paul about 6'1". Because I was right next to Chris Paul, and if he knew how much shit I talked about him, he probably, I'd have felt like Larry David if he even did anything. But so like, I'm sitting there doing Chris Paul 1. I'm like, this nigga's not that tall.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's like D-Rose. Like D-Rose really, D-Rose is 6'1". Now, Steph is a legit 6'4".
Yeah,
Steph is a legit 6'4", so that was kind of cool. JaVale is tall as shit. That is a tall ass nigga. I think that's like the cool thing. Like, you can see the difference. Like, NFL players ain't really tall.
No,
like Justin Fields maybe like what, an inch taller than you.
If about that. 6'2".
Yeah, about if 6'2". That. You know what I'm saying? Like all these basketball players tall as hell. So I'm looking forward to. I'm not going next week, but in 2 weeks they play the Nuggets on a Sunday and the Nets on Monday. So I'm looking forward to see Jokic and KD.
Yeah.
So that'd be fun, man. But
somehow this turned into a conversation about basketball. And it is a shame.
I mean, because, what else did I really talk about? Like well, obviously.
I was making a point about how tired I am. If you look in my eyes, for those who are on Patreon, remember, if you're listening, you can subscribe to us.
Yes.
I've been trying to get Scott to lower some of these prices so niggas can have more opportunities. But Scott is a venture capitalist who's not going to ever listen to me.
Time,
and he hates the people when I am the man of the proletariat.
I put Summer Sessions and Cinema with the Guys on the $5 package. So what are we talking about here?
As I was saying, I've been trying to help the people more. and you see what happens when the bourgeois take over. But
let's talk about this game, man.
First of all, nigga. Well, I guess that did lead into it. Lambeau Field is in the middle of a neighborhood. Mm-hmm. It is the oddest thing to see for a football stadium for me because I'm not used to it. I mean, even with the Lions Stadium, it's not the middle of a neighborhood. It's downtown. For the Chicago Bears, it's on the lakefront. Lambeau Field is in the middle of a residential area. I literally turned down the street called Holmgren Way. And you know that's Mike Holmgren. Turned down Holmgren Way. I said, Holmgren Way? I'm like, does the nigga deserve a street? He won a single title, but whatever. That's fine. And so I turned down there, and I mean, just filled with green and yellow and white. Disgusting. A few Bears fans. Not as many Bears fans as I thought I was. I saw more Bears fans in Detroit than I saw in Wisconsin, which is odd considering that Wisconsin is way, way closer than Detroit is. We'll say way.
How long did it take y'all to get there?
3 hours and 30 minutes. 3 hours, okay. 3.5 hours. And so I turned down there. I see people were parking, you know, pay $20 here and come here about at least a mile away from the stadium. People are offering $20 to park it. As you turn into the residential area, people are selling their driveway spots for $20. It even says bathroom included. And inside people's driveways are people tailgating. So people weren't tailgating in the parking lots. People were tailgating outside of these houses. You know, there were grills going. Some even had the football games that were still ongoing. So we're all doing that. I mean, they're all doing that. And as we turn, we see Lambeau Field. I'm like, man, that's the middle of a neighborhood. The parking lot was trash because it was just full of dirt, but whatever. The stadium itself really looked nice from the outside, way better than Soldier Field, but inside it was garbage. You know, it's stadiums. I mean, it's bleacher seating. You have to rent backs that you can attach to the seats.
Yeah, it's old school.
Because like, who wants to sit there? You just got to sit up there the whole game like this. It's trash. And this is not me trashing Lambeau for the sake of trashing Lambeau.
Which is always fun, by the way.
But the people I met there, even the Packers fans, are all nice. All nice people, which, I mean, it's Wisconsin. They have that, you know, all Wisconsin, that weird sounding, that truly Midwestern accent that we as Chicagoans don't really have. Well, Black Chicagoans. White Chicagoans do have a really weird Boston Midwesternish accent.
Yeah.
Chicago. Dabash.
Go give me a Polish.
Give me a Polish, Dave. Whereas in Wisconsin, it's all, hey, it's good to see you here.
Black Chicago.
About to watch the Packers. It's like, I'm like, you all sound really, really foreign. But anyway, the game itself, you know. Shout out to them for also having better food than Soldier Field. It's a shame. Everybody Every
did.
Stadium.
Did you see the picture I sent you of the multiple TVs they have in the Staples Center press room?
You know, but it's a shame, of course, that I mean, we're not surprised, but it's also a shame that I have to constantly tell you all, the press box is better than the press box at Soldier Field. But anyway, the game went, you know, the Bears lost. The only thing that was cool about it was the first half. But
first half was entertaining. They had me for a minute.
They didn't have me because the score was up by one. I'm like, that's it. You lost. Like, they lost already. You give it up.
What I mean by they had me is they had me entertained. I didn't think we were going to win.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had me.
Because I was like, damn, we played our ass off. We up six.
They played their asses off, sir.
Whatever. Fuck Joe and his professionalism.
We are not. Nah, nigga. This ain't professionalism, nigga. I'm not playing with them. They ain't my coaches. They. Scott, don't do this, bro. Just know you can get muted. You better say they, or just don't say nothing.
I'm not saying they.
They. Scott's muted now. So they had us excited. But, yeah, I mean, it was – the game is, you know, 45-30. I mean, they scored 14 points in like 17 seconds at one point in time.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing really to talk about. There was – it's interesting enough because, I mean, we have on our rundown great Justin Fields. So we might as well just go into actually, before we go into Justin Fields, I do want to talk about Tevin Jenkins, who was getting his ass whooped.
He was getting fucked up. But it was his first real.
And that's to show you how much experience goes into being a professional. Yeah. Jason Peters is an old man, but he still has a strength and the know-how.
20 years of knowledge.
To stop someone.
I think Jason Peters has been pretty solid this year. I think he's been pretty solid this year. I have no complaints about Jason Peters.
Yeah, it took him a few games to get into shape where he, you know, get the actual shape, but he's been solid. But man, and Tevin Jenkins came in and he was having a great first half. I'm like, man, look at the blocking, finding his assignments. But that second half, oh, he started getting beat up. First of all,
did you hear what Olin Crew said?
What?
Olin Crew said Justin Fields was under siege all game.
Tevin Jenkins' first play, he was put in the backfield. Preston Fields did a simple bull rush, just extended his arm and lifted him, and he was, which that's not necessarily an issue because remember, if you have someone coming at an angle as you, if you're on Patreon, you can actually see me, and they're lifting you up because typically, like with DNs, people used to think DNs needed to be 6'4 and tall. DNs are their best, the outside linebackers who blitz like Michael Parsons. When they're like 6'1, 6'2,
dog,
don't make no sense, bro.
Dog,
don't make no sense. Don't make no sense that he can do all that.
Straight up game record.
Man, outstanding. But like Micah Parsons is listed as 6'3. He's not 6'3. He is probably around 6'1, 6'2 and a half. But he's going against a tackle who's 6'6, 6'5. And that height advantage is not an advantage, it is a disadvantage. These DNs use that to get underneath their pads. And so Preston Smith is actually a pretty tall outside linebacker. If I'm correct, Preston Smith, yeah, he's 6'5". So normally for someone his height, it's more of an even matchup because Jason Peters is 6'5", 6'6". But Preston Smith had the know-how to take
Jason Peters is 6'5"?
I want to say 6'5".
That's a big nigga, man. 6'5" is as big as he is?
They're tackles.
6'5"? No, I ain't no tackles that tall.
They're tackles. All tackles Jesus. Are tall. Yeah, Jason Peters is 6'5". Tackles are tall. Tackles are typically 6'4 or above. Centers are typically 6'1, 6'2. Guards are around 6'2, 6'3. Tackles are typically tall. And I never understood it. I still don't really. Height complaints you want because you don't want them batting down balls. But at the same time, if you're doing a good enough job blocking, I don't think you have to be 6'6, but that's just a common thing. Tackles tend to be. The height goes downward as they go inward. Preston Smith normally would not have an advantage against someone who's near his height. And Tevin Jenkins, I want to say, Tevin Jenkins is 6'6". It's a big dude. It's a big, tall dude. But Preston Smith is still, you know, right around his size. But he was able to get under Tevin Jenkins that first play and push them back a little bit. Tevin tailed. I was like, held on good. I was okay, that's good. And the rest of the first half, he did a good job. I'm like, man, I like what I'm seeing. He still has to get in rhythm and get used to actually firing off the line, hitting your first target, which is probably sometimes a chip on the end, and going upfield to the second level and getting to the linebacker or getting to a blitzing safety or blitzing corner. Like, he has to learn these things. But he was doing good. There's a few plays I'm like, okay, you look a little off. But then that second half, oh, no, he started getting teed off. The line just started going. Meanwhile,
Justin had no time in that second half.
Larry Borm has been doing a good job.
Larry Borm doing good, man.
A good job. You did not see pressure from his side. It was on Tevin Jenkins' side. But that being said, isn't it great that you got to give him credit as a rookie for doing that, Larry Borm, to hold his own. But remember, Larry Borm has snaps. He has the repetitions. So you're good. You're happy to see him there.
You know who's the unsung hero of the offensive line? I don't feel like gets enough credit.
Who?
James Daniels.
James Daniels. I was going to say this name. Yeah. You don't hear much about him.
You don't hear much about him. It's like Eddie Goldman. They do their job, but you don't hear much about him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want Sam Mustafa
arrested for treason.
Yes, Sam Mustafa needs to be sent to the gulag.
It's not even the blocking that has me most upset. It's his snapping. His snapping is just his worst skill.
What do you think about Cody Whitehead this year?
He's okay.
Solid.
He's a serviceable guard, you know.
But it's like you got all these rookies that even like
I think Cody Whitehead needs to go back to center, even though guard is first position. I think center he'd be much better.
But it's like all these rookies, they're rookie, like they're gonna make rookie mistakes, just like Justin's pick six. Like that, he pulled a Mitch. He was looking right at Darnell.
But see, okay,
the whole
time. I have a caveat for that play.
Okay.
One, the ball was actually that's a one read play. That's a get it out. The issue with that, and is when you ask Matt Nagy, Matt Nagy would say, yeah, you probably want to get better. He's like, no, that was a good ball. He's like, it was thrown on time, on target, but he jumped it. And that's where Justin made the mistake. Rasul Douglas, I believe Rasul is the corner, yeah, was aggressive the entire night. He should have known not to throw that pass.
Yeah, he almost had two picks. He dropped one earlier.
No, the one that he dropped, the one that you saw him drop was, you know, that one ended up being a
flat.
Because he just ran into the nigga and tried to get the ball. But like, I asked Justin, I'm like, yo, they were aggressive all night and jumping around. You know, Asante Samuel, whose son is in the freaking league, which is just.
Asante Samuel Jr. is in the NFL.
Just crazy to me. But Asante Samuel was known for jumping routes. But he would get beat because they would just double move.
Yeah.
You know, that would hurt him was a double move. So I asked Justin, yo, did you
Ty Law used to jump routes too, but he wasn't just a jump route type corner.
No. But he jumped routes primarily.
He jumped. Remember that AFC Championship game in like 03? He picked off Tom Brady? Peyton Manning off.
Oh, it's Peyton Manning.
He
that's right.
Picked off Peyton Manning three times.
Didn't he pick off Tom Brady when he went to the Chiefs too?
Probably, but I'm telling you, in the AFC Championship, he picked that nigga off three times.
Yeah.
In the snow, jumping routes.
And so I asked him, you know, why didn't you all consider running some double moves? You know, getting them, if they're aggressive, let him jump the route and then take off. And he said, yeah, we wanted to, it just didn't happen. I was like, uh-huh. That sounds
like getting a naggy in his, I feel like he's going through the motions.
That sounds like a coach who's not adjusted.
Yeah.
But overall, Justin's performance was a good performance. Or if you want to take like the last pick, come on now, it's later on. It's a garbage time.
I didn't see the last pick. What happened to it with that one?
He threw in the middle, and then Darnell Mooney, whoever it is, tipped it, and it got picked off.
Garbage, I feel like half of Justin's picks are
our tips. Tips. I'm not tripping. The first one, you like, don't throw that. You don't throw that. The pass was on time, but you just don't throw it because you know what's happening.
Yeah.
You probably should just took off. I saw.
Oh, when I tweeted, "Is curb up now?" Y'all thought I was joking. I literally turned that game off. Like I turned it off.
I literally started to get my stuff. I had a tweet up that said, "You know, Ryan Pace left early." I deleted it because I didn't want folks to think, I didn't want to be a gossip column type person. But Ryan Pace did leave early, and I was like, "That's kind of odd." Because Ryan,
how's that being a gossip person? If it happened, it happened.
Yeah, I didn't want to be taken the wrong way. Look, I'm too nice. As Jason Leisure says, as he talked to me and Herb, he said, "Herb, you're too much of an asshole. Joe, you're too nice." So I don't want to.
I don't. And I mean, but look, he's probably up there on Zillow. Like the nigga's not. This time next year, he's not going to be employed. He's not going to be employed.
That was the first time I saw him mad in the press box. That was
mad Thanksgiving.
I guess I wasn't paying attention to him.
That nigga was hot on Thanksgiving. I remember that. He was hot on Thanksgiving.
I saw him behind me and Peyton. He was just like, "What the fuck?" And he was like, "Again?" And he wasn't. He was talking about the play action arrow route that the Packers kept running. Now, I don't know what the exact play of it, but so it was a bootleg arrow route. So Aaron Rodgers would bootleg to the short side of the field, and then Devontae Adams would leak for an arrow route. An arrow route is literally just running an arrow. You're running at an angle toward the sideline. And so Devontae Adams would catch that turn up field 12 yards. He did that for almost four plays in a row, 12 yards, 16 yards. And then Ryan Pace behind me was like, "Fuck, again?" Basically, I'm thinking like, yeah, this is who you hired. These are the people you hired. You know what I mean?
I think Justin, I give Justin, I give him a considering C+. The situation.
C plus B, B minus.
I give him a C. I give him a nice C, like you said, C plus. He was like 20 or 33. He had two touchdowns, two picks. One of them was
I'm not blaming him. The pick six, no, that's him.
Yeah. I think he had a solid game. I really, really love how he bounced back from that pick six.
Yeah.
He bounced back from that pick six, threw a touchdown, and I'm gonna get
and to I that. Mean he threw a very on time.
It was a great ball.
It was it and couldn't he be had more perfect no than that
type of protection. And all it was just, night.
It was his second read.
Yeah, it was
and shout out to Peyton, our cousin Peyton, who was staff for me today. And so Peyton was doing the defensive, which coming next year, we will be having articles out, but we're still trying to get our website rebooted and running. So you ain't gonna have it just yet. But next year we will have our articles running, and Peyton was gonna, you know, was helping me this game.
I know he probably enjoyed that.
Bro, he was starstruck.
He was like, "Man, Justin Fields said, excuse me."
he got to talk extended time to Robert Quinn.
Oh, he was asking questions?
No, he Robert Kuhn was. So we were in the meeting, in the interview room. The Bears PR people kind of send in people too quickly. So Bears players who were next were waiting outside.
Oh, okay.
And so he went past Peyton. Peyton was like, "Oh man, what's up, bro?" He's like, "It sucks, man, but that was some good sacks." And they talked for a couple minutes. Robert Kuhn, just a good dude, cool dude.
Yeah, I fuck with Robert Kuhn, man.
The really odd thing about the game is no player seemed sad.
Because they know what it is, bro. They
except know Damir Bird. Damir Bird looked like he was crying. And I deleted the tweet as well because Herb was like, "This is just how he is. It's how he talks. It's not, he didn't necessarily cry."
Yeah, I'm about to say, this nigga's posting his highlights on Instagram. So I don't think that nigga was sad. Nigga definitely posted his highlights on
Instagram. He was like, "Well, you know, man." And I was like, "Is he emotional right now?"
Now, maybe it's just my meathead fan shit, but I hate when athletes post their highlights after losses.
Like Kevin White.
Nigga, Kevin White. No, you know what annoys the hell out of me? The White Sox will lose, and Yoan will be posting all his throws, nigga. Like, all, like it'll be like, five. He like, oh, he'll throw, like, it'll be in some Spanish. Whatever you put in Spanish, it'll be like a double play he completed the TA. Or like a home run. I'm like, nigga, we lost 7-2.
I expect that from Scrubs, which Scrub is just such a bad term. I
expect that from Scrubs, but from Yoan, no, do better.
You're a star on the team. What are you doing? What are you doing? Better. Do better than that. I don't want to see your highlights, nigga.
Did you see, be mad. Did you see T.A. tweet the Bulls? He said, "We in a lockout, bro. I know y'all need bodies. Hit me up."
Good luck for them talks. Niggas walked into the room and then left. So
I teach you, I don't think baseball started until June. I really don't. We won't have another truncated season.
Look at you.
College word. This is my thing about Justin. I like how he bounced back. I love that throw. Like I said, I don't really care about interceptions. As long as you're not throwing.
Bro, in this day and age, like I said, the age of you need 10 interceptions and under, nobody cares about that.
Look, as long as you're not throwing more than 15 a season, I don't give a shit about interceptions. Interceptions.
Shout out to Justin Herbert.
Yeah, are you going to.
Justin Herbert going to give you 15 picks a year.
How many picks you got right now?
12.
Okay. Yeah, but Jay Herbert going to give you about 35 touchdowns to go with it. Now, I always said Jameis would be good if Jameis threw under 20 picks. Like, Jameis going to give you 40 touchdowns. He going to give you 20 picks, too. Somebody said Jameis was the black Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I was like, nigga, I've never seen something more accurate in my fucking life. But, yeah, I don't care about interceptions. It's how you bounce back. And honestly, Mitch wasn't a heavy interception guy. Like, that's one thing. He didn't take risk. Yeah, exactly.
He didn't take risk. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's. You can tell Nagy Justin Fields is his guy. Now, of course, he wanted Andy Dalton to start. I'm not talking about that, who's starting. I'm talking about Justin is the person he wanted to draft.
Yeah.
Because he was like, man, Justin's just mentally tough. He threw a pick and just didn't care. He came right back. Mitch throws that pick? He ain't throwing. Mitch dumping back. Mitch dumping off.
So here's a Bears quarterback scare question. Whose interceptions were worse, Rex Grossman or Jay Cutler? I'm gonna say Rex.
Because they were heartbreaking moments.
Yeah, but Jay's were too. Jay's
gonna get you some game winning drives.
Right, exactly.
Bro.
That's what balances it out.
He gonna offset it, bro.
But Rex, he's just gonna give you an assessment. Like, and Jay throws them I feel like Rex couldn't read the defense.
No.
Jay gonna throw it because he has so much confidence in his arm that I'm gonna get this shit off. And if I don't, fuck it. But some of Jay's picks would come with the most backbreaking times. Like, it's the worst. And it was just like, Jay, what the fuck? And he don't care. He's slinging that bitch again.
Yeah.
But I loved how he bounced back on that. But this is what I want to say about Allen Robinson. Because, look, man.
Good night. You ain't coming back, nigga.
This is why I tweet A-Rob with A-Y-E, Rob. I know he searches Twitter.
Hey.
Because I don't have time to be arguing back and forth with this nigga. I understand you want to leave. Nigga, I want to leave. And I'm not even on the fucking team. I understand that. But I really feel like he's giving up on this team. I think even on one of Justin's runs, he just stopped blocking. On one of them plays, he just stopped blocking.
He's not
getting any receptions. We've seen from the press box, he don't get open, and it's like he's just going out there, going through the motions. And honestly, I think that's gonna hurt whatever money he gets from whatever other team he goes to, because he's not trying.
Is he going to be restricted or unrestricted free agent?
He's unrestricted because we franchise tagged him.
They franchise tagged him. Whatever.
They franchise tagged
him. I'm pretty sure. I wouldn't be surprised I'm intrigued. So if a new person comes in, I'm pretty sure that that person will offer a low ball offer, say Allen Robinson. Sure.
100%.
And if I'm a GM, I'd offer, if I'm Ryan Pace, I'd give him a low ball offer because you haven't earned anything on the floor yet. Because no other team's giving you a high ball offer. They're gonna notice you weren't getting open this year.
I think Baltimore will pay the fuck out of him because them niggas got nobody.
Baltimore's a fast team, though. He's not a fast player.
Rancho Cucamonga Brown is not getting it done with Lamar. It's not happening.
What Peyton was talking about, and that's how Peyton's football mind works. Also, Peyton is a defensive coordinator at Oswego East High School.
Shout out our cousin Peyton.
Coaches the sophomore team. But he was saying how teams have adapted to Lamar Jackson by because he doesn't have a running back behind him because they're all injured. It's not that, because the running backs that they have are all injured. And so he doesn't have any good running back behind him. So all they have to do is focus on him running and forcing him to pass. They don't even come hard off the edge of him. They want to see if he's going to get outside the pocket and run. And so they force him to pass. When he had Mark Ingram years before, which he has again, and he had J.K. Dobbins, you had to respect him. J.K. Dobbins is injured. You had to respect those players. When you respect those players, that lets him get outside. That lets him throw. So they're just dealing with, they're a beat up team right now. And it just, you need more skilled players around him to make him successful. He's not going to be in the pocket like Tom Brady. It's just not his game. But what I say with Justin Fields is he reads the field well. He reads defenses. He just needs to read defenses quicker.
Did you hear what Aaron Rodgers said about him?
Yeah. He praised him.
Yeah, he praised him.
So,
and also Pat McAfee said, he said the Bears lost, but Justin Fields, man, that fucking guy. He said, I knew he threw two picks, but that dude's gonna be a fucking stud. Once he gets a coach who's not happy to just be there at the end of the first fucking half, he's gonna be fucking great.
Yeah, Matt Nagy's, which I didn't hear him saying, I'm just having fun, because obviously he told Michelle before that. I said, yeah. And then of course Robert Quinn doing the discount double check.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, no way that's going to backfire on us.
But he laughed and said, I'm not doing it to insult him. I just thought it was fun. He old country nigga. So he's like, So here's how he talked. I just thought it was fun. It wasn't no thought to it. I just thought it was fun. So, you know, like, I'm going to keep doing it.
Robert Quinn impersonation.
I'm going to keep doing it.
That's so exactly how that nigga talks. I gained way more respect for Robert Quinn. I did not know he's been playing with a tumor in his head.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
It's gone, ain't it?
No, it's still in there. He gets a yearly check, but it's still in there. And so, yeah, man, shout out to Robert Quinn. But, yeah, man, it's just Nagy. Like, here's the segue to the next point. I feel like Nagy knows he's fucked. And he's just like, nigga, whatever. Like, even some of his answers, he don't need to care no more. Niggas asked him, like, why you kicked the field goal down 11 on fourth down? He said, I don't know. Maybe I should have changed it at that point. And they said, why did David Montgomery only get one carry? I don't know. In that type of moment, you're not really thinking about that. What the fuck you mean you ain't thinking about that? So he knows he's done. I think Ryan Pace, from
when he talked about
how angry he was, I think he knows he's done.
And they're like, in regards to David Montgomery only getting like three more carries or two more carries, it wasn't on purpose. I was like,
no, he got one carry the rest of the game.
It seems like it wasn't on purpose. And I was like, what? I was almost afraid to tweet it. I'm like, I don't want to be tripping out, because I give quotes in small bursts because it's hard to obviously track everything a person said. I'm like, but did he really say it wasn't on purpose? Yeah, I was like, oh, you're the coach, dog. Game was just it was crap.
Here's the thing for Bears fans. Like, we understand, like, we all know Nagy's done. There's a great chance that Ryan Pace is done too. But I'm going to hit y'all with a little stat, because the problem ain't about them two niggas no more. It's, do you have faith in the McCaskey family to bring in the right people?
Nope.
Now, here's a stat. Now, there's a video that got tweeted on the Chicago Sports History page, and it's a video of George McCaskey and Ted Phillips when they fired Mark Trestman. They looked pretty pissed off, and they said, our mother is very angry, and I never thought I'd describe a 91-year-old woman, but she's pissed off. She's tired of being watching all this losing. Now, here's some stats. The Bears, since that press conference, are 46-63. That's 25 out of 32 teams in the league. They have averaged 20 points per game. That's 29th out of 32 points in the league. They have 161 turnovers. That's tied for 25th out of 32 teams in the league, and they're about to be on their third different head coach. This is a organizational problem. We can sit up here and we can talk about Matt Nagy and talk about Ryan Pace. Before that, we could talk about John Fox. Phil Emery. We can be here all fucking day. To be completely real, these niggas have not had a GM with since the dude who put the 85 Bears together. And what they do after they won the championship, they let that nigga walk.
You gotta give Jerry Angelo credit.
Okay, I'll give Jerry Angelo a little credit, but he still had the same problem y'all have, not building a fucking offense.
Yeah.
That every Bears GM knows how to build a defense.
Yeah.
And even the year with Mel Tucker, that was more based on the niggas
Tucker.
We had.
You said Mel Tucker.
Mel Tucker. That was more on Peanut, Urlacher, Briggs being old more than it was on Mel Tucker. He had old dudes on his team. That's more, not to say that his scheme was still shit too, but he had some old niggas on his team.
He's a good college coach. He's a good college coach. That's probably as far as I'm going.
So this is the organizational part. I don't like, and if you look at the candidates you're going to have. Now, unless Mike Tomlin or Sean Payton become available, which I don't see either one have. You could probably sell me on Sean Payton becoming available. The Steelers don't get rid of coaches. They've had three coaches in their entire franchise history. Three. Chuck Noll, Bill Cowell, Mike Tomlin. That's it. So they don't get rid of coaches. I'm expecting Tomlin to still be in there. You can sell me on Sean Payton leaving, but outside of those two, none of these coaches are home run hits. We don't know what these niggas are going to be like. If you get somebody from college, if you decide to get one of these assistants, we don't fucking know. We don't even know what GMs are they going to get. So I'm not giving, no matter who fires, you're not who gets hired, you're not going to see me throw we're going the right direction. I need 2 to 3 seasons before I give any of these niggas credit. And that's just how it is. And I don't think this is a hard situation to fix. Shit, we might not know. Sunday might have been the last time we play Aaron Rodgers in the Green Bay Packers uniform. We don't know. It might be. And even if it wasn't, he's got, 4 years left of him? Everybody, that Brady shit don't happen. So yeah. And even then, you can build slow, and by the time he's ready to leave or retires, bam, you're a good team again. So you have your quarterback. You have a guy who you think can be the franchise quarterback. Make his life easier. That's what it should all be about. And the McCaskies have to prove it to us Bears fans. I understand why everybody's pessimistic. Shit, I'm pessimistic.
Yeah.
It's an organization problem. Blaming just Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, I feel is irresponsible. Because it's deeper than that.
Yeah. No, I agree wholeheartedly. I believe if George and Ted truly cared about the franchise – outside of their own egos. This is not to say that they are egotistical men. I don't know them. You know, I've spoken to them through press conference, but I don't know them as people. But what I mean, get past their own ego, it is their pride I'm speaking of. If they realize we have failed in our organizational roles, we need somebody else to take the reins to make a decision. I don't, you know, it's not like basketball where you make someone head of basketball operations and you have a general manager. I'm not sure there are many head of football operations or if that's even a position with other teams, but they need someone under them who has the control that they have. Focus on the financial, you know, focus on the Arlington move, focus on the logistics behind what the stadium will cost, what's the taxes you will pay, how will you get the funding, focus on those things, but get someone in charge of football operation, the football ops, who focuses on hiring football people, because you all don't know what you're doing. And that's just clear as day. I don't think they should be in charge of hiring a general manager because they don't know football. No. Yeah. Your mother's Virginia McCaskey. Congratulations, nigga. You won the financial lottery, nigga. But you don't know ball, bro. Yeah, y'all can't hoop. Yeah. Y'all can't hoop. You need to get people in there who know what they're doing. And I think it's time for them to step aside. Step aside and let someone else come in there who truly knows the game of football and who is good at finding people who have good enough minds with them. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's what a person of football – I don't know if there's – is there even a title president of football operations? Yeah. It is in basketball.
No, it's football president of football operations. That's who the fuck Ted Phillips is.
he needs to be gone.
I think you just said put Tev. If you wanna give Ted Phillips the John Paxson deal, because John Paxson did not get fired, They just gave John a check to shut the fuck up and go away. Yeah. Like I be seeing John Paxson in the owner's box at Bulls games. So if you want to tell Ted, look, you're your family, you're in the Toretto family, and y'all take care of the Arlington shit. You had that. You're a good businessman. You've done a good job with the Bears brand.
Mm-hmm.
As a brand, I'll give him that. He's done his job. As sorry as the Bears are, these niggas will have at least 5 primetime games every year.
Yeah.
they got this one. The next game is on Monday Night Football. Nobody wants to see that shit.
No.
So he's done a good job with the Bears brand. So you tell Ted, look, your job, make sure we have the best stadium in football. We need to get some football niggas in here.
Yeah.
That's who it should be. Because McCaskey's not going anywhere. They're not selling team. No matter how bad you might, it's a family business. No matter what happens.
Yeah.
You just got to hope they put some right people in it and get this thing. Because the worst scenario ever for a Bears fan is you finally get your quarterback, and then we sitting there 10, 12 years from now, Justice, multi-time Pro Bowl, shit, might even want an MVP, but he's never won a Super Bowl because they didn't surround him with the fucking talent. That would be the worst scenario.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I agree.
Let's wrap this up with one last topic. Eddie Goldman got put on the COVID list. Today it's kind of felt like one of them early 2020 days where we're getting all this COVID news across sports. The NFL has 37 cases, 37 players on protocol list and 25 pending. They might be on there. Jalen Ramsey just got it. He didn't play the Monday Night Football game last night. Odell had a great game, had a touchdown. He's in protocols now. He tested positive. Jarvis Landry, the Browns got like seven people. You already know the NBA is like a cesspool right now. Yeah. The Bulls literally had to cancel games this week. What are your thoughts on what do you think sports can do? Because I'm at the point where it's kind of like, what really can they do? Like, I don't really think even a pausing of a season is going to help because all these leagues are pretty much vaccinated. The NBA is 97% vaccinated. I don't know what the NFL's is, but I think theirs are pretty high and they're making boosters mandatory.
I don't know the efficacy behind, you know, or how the vaccine loses efficacy over time. I don't know. I mean, that's natural polio. Somebody had a polio card like the 50s where they needed five booster shots that entire year. So that I don't know the range between that. And I won't assume.
Said 6 months.
I won't assume.
After the second shot.
But I will say that I think both leagues could use a 2 week pause. Maybe not the NFL, but the NBA could use a 2 week pause. Just pause the game for 2 weeks. You will find a way to fix things and make games up. Take a pause, let the cases go down, make sure people get boosted as best as they can. And then the players are going to have to exercise personal responsibility, and that's not being near people, you know what I'm saying, in the season. That's really the only thing that they can do because it's going to spread, and as you see, it's not going to stop. But I think a lot of these players don't use personal responsibility. Some players are lying, as you saw, and are saying they're vaccinated when they're truly not. I don't know who's telling the truth, especially after Aaron Rodgers and Antonio Brown. Yeah, man, best you do is get boosted, take a pause in the league, and then, yeah, that's the only thing I can think of, man. Besides that, it's just going to be is what it is. And we're in a world where
we live in right
coronavirus
now.
Is not – the COVID-19 is not going anywhere. You just kind of accept that.
Yeah, pretty much, man.
So
that's what we have with it, man. We're going to have, of course, our preview pod this week will be free. We'll be on – all platforms, so because we got a special guest, we want everybody to listen to this interview, so check that out this weekend. Then of course next week we'll have the Monday Night Football wrap up, and then, you know, we only got a couple more episodes left for this season, and we're approaching the 200th episode. By looking at schedule, we should have that sometime September of next year, and just know we're gonna do something dope. We're planning through things right now for the 200th episode. We appreciate anybody who supports us. Now the streets want to know where your post game video was at this week. I seen a couple people tweeting us.
When I recorded it, it was kind of out of focus, so it's not really much I can do with that.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of chalked for this week.
Shit happens. As far as I'm not gonna hold you, Christmas special, it's TBD right now. We will know for a fact at the end of the weekend if it's gonna happen or not. You know, all these, we don't know what the official word is yet, but all these, you know, sicknesses going around. Production might be stopped, but like I said, this was, even if we do drop it, that'd be the season finale. If not, then season finale was 2 weeks ago because I'm taking a break. The show will be back. Season two will be back the week of Super Wild Card weekend. So check out for that. And yeah, man, so we continue supporters. Thank you, everybody who subscribes to the Patreon. If you don't subscribe to the Patreon, subscribe patreon.com/barbershairnetwork. I think summer sessions, we might have one more episode before the year's over. We might do one next week. Not like 2 weeks after this, right before New Year's, but that's not, you know, we don't know. Because the holiday special is supposed to be basically summer sessions live.
Yeah.
With everybody who could come because you're not in LA. But, you know, anyway. Y'all have a good time. Try not to let the Bears ruin your holiday next week. I won't. And we out, man.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.